This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have three distinguished guests on today's program: Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina; Mr. Carlton Putnam, more about him in a moment; Representative Dale Alford, Congressman from Little Rock, Arkansas. Mr. Putnam is the author of a book called Race and Reason, A Yankee View. This book, published this spring, is already on the bestseller lists throughout the nation. Mr. Putnam is a native of New England, traces his ancestry back to the 1600s in Massachusetts, a graduate of Princeton and of Columbia Law School. He's the founder of Chicago and Southern Airlines, later merged with Delta Airlines, and he became board chairman of Delta. Mr. Putnam has written a biography of Theodore Roosevelt, which has drawn high critical acclaim. And since publication of Race and Reason early this year, the book has been hailed by critics, editors, educators, scientists, and public officials throughout the nation. It's widely recognized for its clear presentation of the South's position in terms that the North can understand. I understand, Mr. Putnam, there have been some 220 reviews of Race and Reason published so far in this country. And of those 220, an even 200 have been favorable reviews. Isn't that a rather remarkable record for a book?
That would be a question that I would have to research, I think, to be accurate about. Some books, I imagine, for instance, that Gone with the Wind had equally favorable, if perhaps not more favorable, acclaim. They tell me in your hometown of Jackson, Dick, that the book has sold better than Gone with the Wind, and next, I believe, to the Bible. But, of course, that is in Mississippi, and I'm afraid I can't say as much for New York.
I'd like to just turn the discussion over right now to Congressman Alford and Senator Thurmond, and let them have a chat with the author of Race and Reason.
Well, we are delighted to be here on this panel with this distinguished American, Mr. Putnam. And we shall talk today as one American to another, not as a Southerner or a Northerner, because after all, we believe in the same ideals. True Americans do. Mr. Putnam, as one American, I want to congratulate you for the magnificent job you did in writing this book, Race and Reason. I think this book gives evidence of the fact that you are a biologist, you are a zoologist, you are an anthropologist, you are a lawyer, you are a historian, and you are a student of government. And I don't know of anyone who's better qualified to author a book of this kind. The South appreciates what you've done in writing this book, and as the years go by, I believe the North will too. Would you mind telling the audience here today just your real purpose in writing this book so that they will have it from your own lips?
Well, of course, that's a large question. Why one does something of this kind, there were many reasons. I think perhaps the chief one was that I was, I believe, righteously indignant at the point of view which the South, which the North had concerning the South's position in this matter. I couldn't help feeling that it was based on a false conception of the truth, upon scientific evidence which was primarily politically motivated. And it was my further investigation into that political motivation of the scientific foundations of the race question and its bearing upon the South's future that made me lay down the fundamental premise in Race and Reason, which is that the South has got at stake here its racial integrity. The states' rights issue is an important one in our national life. But to my mind, in the race question, it's less important than the preservation of the integrity of your white civilization in the South. Because, as I have said so often, there has never been a case in history where you have had large numbers of whites and blacks living together in the same general area as they do in the South today, without segregation, that you haven't eventually, within a generation or two, had intermarriage, and thereafter had a deterioration of your white civilization. That, to me, the protection of a civilization against that deterioration is perhaps the greatest of all human rights. And when they talk about this right and that right in this country today, they had better begin thinking a little about the South's case when it comes to protecting the integrity of its civilization. And I think out of kindness, for which I respect you, I think out of kindness you have allowed yourselves to be imposed upon to the point where today you've got to face the fact that kindness carried beyond a certain point in a situation of this kind becomes a vice.
I want to congratulate you on that statement. And what you have done here is to bring to the American people the truth, and that was your purpose in writing this book, and to point out the danger of amalgamation of the races.
That's a fair statement.
I appreciate also the remarks that our distinguished colleague, Senator Thurman of South Carolina, has made relative to this distinguished author and anthropologist and authority in this field. All across the country, we have had reports of intellectuals who have read this book. They're very impressed with the authoritarian background on which the book is written. And I would like to ask Mr. Putnam at this time if there has been any scientific attack on his book, Race and Reason.
I will answer that by saying that there has been no scientific attack based upon what we would call in the law the merits. There have been general statements that the book is full of this error and that error, but unfortunately nobody has had the time to point the errors out. Those attacks which have had some flavor of scientific argument, let's say, have been already answered. Now, there was a review in a magazine called The National Review, which has already been answered by a scientist, Dr. Garrett. And I've had the pleasure of reading it, and I would say that it covers that review ably. There has been one other review which has the aura of a scientific analysis, and that has been in the Eugenics Quarterly. That review has also been answered by a scientist, Dr. Garrett. I have read that, and I feel that it covers that critique very ably. It has not yet been accepted for publication. I trust that the editors will accept it, and in my judgment, it answers that review. Beyond that, I can truthfully say that while the book has been in circulation now for 6 months, there has been no documented valid attack on its premises. And I will stand upon the statement on the jacket of this book by Dr. Ruggles Gates, who today is the, I think, knows no superior, let's put it that way, knows no superior in the field of human genetics. He's written the definitive work on the subject. Dr. Gates has said that this book is sound. He's done a little better than that. He's said some rather complimentary things, and they're on the jacket. I'll simply leave my case on Dr. Garrett's comment until we get something more substantial than anything that we've had yet from any American or foreign scientist.
As Senator Thurman has already said, that the South is appreciative of what you are doing here, and certainly all the country should be appreciative of it. What about your efforts in the North? Have you met with any good reception, or what about the efforts? I think this should be spread all across the land.
The North has got what you Southerners correctly call a paper curtain hanging on this kind of discussion. How to break through that paper curtain has been a continuing and is still a continuing problem. We have today in New York a committee which has been set up, which is known as the National Putnam Letters Committee, which is devoting itself to the problem of getting this book behind the paper curtain. I can report that it's meeting with considerable success. We've recently had a prominent Philadelphia clergyman who has come out very strongly in favor of the book. Other clergymen throughout the country are doing the same. Of course, as you know, the clergy has had a rather standard position on this matter, which is in disagreement with the thesis of this book. And it's interesting to see clergymen breaking away from that standard position, as they are now beginning to do. I trust that as time goes on, we will break through the paper curtain. I believe that there are many reasonable men and women in the North who are simply misinformed. I don't believe that there's any conspiracy in the North on this subject. There are some conspirators, of course, as there always are in any movement. I think there's no question that the communists are using this as part of their conspiracy. But on the whole, I would say that your problem is to convince the man who sincerely has been misinformed over the years on this subject. And I think as time goes on, you'll be able to succeed in doing it if you take the approach that I'm suggesting. And I earnestly ask both you gentlemen to do what you can in that direction, because I think your safety and future of your civilization lies in that area.
Well, Mr. Putnam, I just want to say that if a man is open-minded and reads this book, I believe he will get a true conception of the situation. I would recommend this book to every Southerner, every Northerner, every American. It's written by a distinguished American of whom we are proud, Race and Reason.
Gentlemen, I'm very sorry to have to break in on this interesting discussion, but our time has gone by once again. I feel that I'd be remiss in my duties as far as information is concerned if I failed to point out to you that Mr. Putnam has recently delivered two very successful public speeches in Jackson, Mississippi, and in New Orleans. These speeches and much other information concerning Mr. Putnam, his book, and some of the reasoning behind the book, and some new supplementary material written by Mr. Putnam, are contained in a special issue of The Citizen, the official publication of the Citizens' Councils of America. If you'd like to have a copy of this, it may be yours. Just send a dollar to The Citizen, Plaza Building, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send your copy right along. That about does it for today. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another edition of your Citizens Council Forum program. Once again, thanks to today's guests, Senator Strom Thurmond, Carlton Putnam, Congressman Dale Alford of Arkansas. Till next week, Dick Morphew saying thanks for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens' Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.